I would anticipate, with looking ahead at our key contracts that we'd like to address, we'll be all in. I would anticipate we'll be all in at the end of this year. We'll be going all in on different people than you've done in the past.
Well, Jerry's all in, or at least his version of all in. More on that in a minute as we welcome you to NFL Live. We're so glad you're with us. We have a special guest analyst today, Logan Ryan, 11 seasons played in the NFL. We're so glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, you're going to be smiling like that all day long, but maybe not when you have to deal with these two. Just kidding. Marcus Spears, Louis Riddick, they'll be with us, as well as Adam Schefter. We've got some news to get to, but first, just a reminder of how great this guy was, Logan's career highlights. We're going to put him to work on NFL Live. So let's start here. Logan was drafted in the third round by the Patriots in 2013. He played four seasons in New England, winning two Super Bowl titles. He plays in a lot of Super Bowls, by the way. Logan's next stop, Tennessee, where he played three seasons, which included intercepting Tom Brady's final pass as a Patriot. You saw that, returning it for a touchdown in the 2019 wild card playoffs. And after a couple seasons with the Giants and one with the Bucks, Logan joined the 49ers in December of last season, quickly became a key contributor in their Super Bowl run. Before we get to things with Logan, we're going to get back to you in just a second. Let's bring in our insider, Adam Schefter. Adam, we teased it. Fill us in on the latest with the Cowboys signing.
Well, they signed running back Royce Freeman last night. I don't know that that qualifies as all in, but it's all in the backfield for now. And that means that their running backs heading into the draft next week, Laura, right now, are Royce Freeman, Rico Dowdle, and Deuce Vaughn. So clearly somewhere along the way, the Dallas Cowboys will be expected to add another running back at some point in time, but they get one last night in signing the former Rams and Broncos running back, Royce Freeman. And then, of course, there are some contractual issues that the Cowboys also will be dealing with this offseason, with neither player present for the start of the voluntary offseason workout program. Both CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons both stayed away. Both are seeking new contracts. Micah Parsons says it's not really related to a contract. The reason he's not there wasn't there last year either. Clearly, CeeDee Lamb wants to become one of the highest, if not the highest, highest paid wide receiver in football. Dallas knows it's going to have to pay both those players at some point in time, wants to and is planned to pay both those players. No deal is close with either player right now, so there'll be work for Dallas to do, and they'll have to be all in to get those deals done with those respective players.
By the way, we keep saying all in because Jerry Jones said all in, okay? Let's listen to Stephen Jones' explanation of the offseason plan for the Cowboys.
Everybody can have their own definition of what that means, but I've never not known us to be all in, nor have I known anybody we compete against not to be all in. Doesn't mean it happens overnight, but when you're wanting to sign players like Dak and Micah and CD, then, you know, that certainly you have to hold money back if you want to have a realistic chance at signing those guys.
I think we need an all-in counter. Like, I think already we've got, like, 12 of them. What is your biggest concern, Logan, with the lack of additions for the Cowboys in this offseason?
Look, I don't see all-in at all. And, you know, they just haven't brought anything in. Dak is at his best when he has offensive line play. The offensive line is aging, and when they can run the ball. I don't see prime Zeke. I don't see Tony Pollard. So I'm seeing a lack of a running game around Dak. Dak wants to get the ball out on time, and he doesn't have the protection to do it. They got to play CD. They got to play Micah. That just has to happen. They don't have the weapons around Dak. I don't see anything different coming from the Cowboys this year.
Boogie, Logan Ryan ain't lying. Good to see you, Logan.
That rhymed.
Listen, man.
Wagyu.
Listen, I'm the guy that gets beat up about the Cowboys, but always truly keep it honest. And this team is worse, and they haven't made a legit run at trying to win a Super Bowl, in my opinion. And I can't wait to hear Lou with this because he has front office experience. But when you think about Dallas, right, you got the quarterback salary that's at $55 million. You got to pay Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb. And over these years, when you've had an offensive line intact, when you've had a good running game, when you've had weapons on the outside, you've accomplished nothing. So now you're worse, and you were, based on Stephen Jones, you had an inability to make moves for free agents that could potentially put you right back in that conversation in the upper echelon of the NFC and potentially trying to make a Super Bowl run. And herein lies the other problem, because I want to hear Lou. other teams got better, i.e. the Green Bay Packers. You look at what the San Francisco 49ers continue to do. You look at the AFC side and see teams continue to build. So it's not just about Dallas. It's about other good teams got better in the offseason. And we sit here talking about how are they going to pay the guys that's in the bill.
Yeah, look, I mean, you guys have both kind of really hit the nail on the head about with this football team. The Cowboys know, Stephen Jones knows, Jerry Jones knows what people are talking about when they say you're all in or you're not all in. Everybody knows that you would like to re-sign your best players when you draft them and then they wind up coming up for contract number two. Everybody knows you'd like to go ahead and reward those guys because that means that you wound up drafting the right guys in the first place. So that doesn't count as being all in on CD, being all in on Micah, and being all in on Dak. Every fan in America would be all in on those guys. They're pretty good players. What we're talking about is, are you making meaningful additions to your football team to keep pace with what everyone else is doing in your division, in your conference, and in the league overall? And look, Logan, you laid it out perfectly. Priority number one has got to be this offensive line. Right. They've got one starter on the offensive line that right now they can count on in terms of playing the position that he plays, and that's Zach Martin. Yep. Tyler Smith is moving to left tackle. They got questions at left guard. They got questions at center. And I know they're not going into the season thinking Terrence Steele is going to hold it down on the right side either. Okay, so that's priority number one. Number two, what did Derrick Henry say? Derrick Henry said, the Cowboys never even talked to me. They showed no interest
that
in me.
That is crazy.
So there goes your running game as far as who do you got in the backfield right now. Now, there's some players in the draft. There's some players in the draft that could help them, but we'll see. And the last thing is this. Remember how we have all these conversations about, do the Cowboys have a culture problem? Look, I don't know if they have a culture problem. I'm not there. So I don't really know about that. But I do know this. They got a personnel problem when it comes to playing against the big boys in December and January when the Green Bay Packers decide and the Buffalo Bills decide, we're going to bully y'all. Mm-hmm. Now, what you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? So now I guess Eric Kendricks is the answer. And that's it.
Ooh, boy.
Lou,
yeah.
Lou, I've been in church my whole life, and I was told to pray when you want something. And I sent praises up, and no blessings came down this offseason for the Dallas Cowboys. And that's what they tell me in church, is that when praises go up, the blessings come down, and it has not happened. Logan Ryan just stepped off the field. He's a Super Bowl champion. He understands what it looks like. I consider Lou to be one of the greatest football minds we have in television. When it comes to personnel decisions and when teams put teams on the field, he's able to see them and tell us who's going to be really good and who has a legitimate shot. And to Lou's point, you cannot sit here today on whatever the date is and tell anybody that the Dallas Cowboys are in position to try to make a run at winning a Super Bowl. And what you want as a fan base, what you want as somebody that watches the game and understands when the Cowboys are good, it's better for the league, is for them to at least be in position to have a chance to get there. Right now, today, it does not feel like they are close to having an opportunity to play for a Super Bowl compared to teams not only in their division, in their conference, but in the league in totality.
Okay, three things. It's April 17th.
You know what?
Go ahead, Lou.
No, I was just going to say this. This may say sound kind of wild, but it really isn't. Look, I would say this. They are worse than they were last year right now, especially 100%. If they don't get some reinforcements on the offensive line.
100%.
Would you be Absolutely. Shocked that the Cowboys don't make the playoffs? I wouldn't be shocked, Lou.
That I'm just saying.
And it hurts my feelings so much.
Yeah, and if that happens, imagine all the conversation around all of that. And by the way, McCarthy's contract would be up, so that's another interesting thing. My second thing on my three things is that they do pick with that 24th pick. Going to be interesting to see where they do. And then the third thing is, Marcus, apparently the football gods don't do the same thing with their church like, you know, we do with the real God, because they're not blessing you. All right, time for some more talk.
They ain't listening.
Time for some more talk stories with Adam. Let's get him back in here. Starting with the latest on a new contract potentially for Trevor Lawrence, Adam.
Trevor Lawrence said yesterday the contract talks between he and the Jacksonville Jaguars are underway. Clearly, Jacksonville would like to pay him at some point this offseason now that he's eligible for a new contract extension. quarterback money is only going to rise, so it's probably in Jacksonville's best interest to get that deal done sooner rather than later. They want to keep Lawrence around. They plan to keep him around. We'll see when they can get that done. Minnesota has had a similar thought in mind with their standout wide receiver, Justin Jefferson. The problem is they've been unable to get a deal done with him. They tried to re-sign him before the start of last season. No deal. They are going to attempt to re-sign him this offseason. So far, no deal. And in the interim, Justin Jefferson is staying away from the voluntary offseason workout program. And today, the Washington Commanders had in a host of players, including the top prospects at quarterback, that they would consider drafting next week with the number two overall selection. They had Jaden Daniels in. They had Michael Penix in. They had J.J. McCarthy and Drake May. All the top quarterback prospects. Again, I think the prevailing wisdom around the league is that Jaden Daniels is in line to become the second overall pick. But this is a chance for the Commanders to spend more time with Jaden Daniels, as well as the other quarterback prospects, to see if they could firm up their decision to go in a certain direction in regards to which quarterback they would like to take at number two.
Adam with us all show, a lot to get to. He's got some more draft buzz coming later. Bill Belichick, by the way, was on the Pat McAfee show today. He was asked about the Commanders hosting so many prospects at once.
We weren't real big on that. It wasn't more of a recruiting for us. It was informational gathering. But I think we had maybe as many as a dozen come in on the same day. And a lot of times we'd combine the groups. So quarterbacks, tight ends, receivers, so that we could interact and work with them individually, but also collectively. Yeah, I can see bringing in a lot of guys at one time. It is an efficient way to use the visit time for your staff, because the more you tie your staff up on those visits, then the less productive you can be doing other things.
I got to say, when you got all those Lombardis behind you, you do frame your shot that way. Like, you leave a lot of head space up at the top, Lou.
Yeah.
Wow, I mean, that's an amazing flex.
Yeah.
What do you think, Lewis, of the Commanders hosting all these quarterback prospects at the same time?
Hey, look, I understand what Bill is saying. You know, there are teams that will bring in a bunch of guys. And really, there's some teams that will do it all at one time. Maybe, like, within 2 days, 3 days, they'll bring all 30 guys in. But see, here's the difference with Washington. Washington, in essence, has the number one overall pick, because you can just go ahead and basically remove Chicago because you know who they're taking. So really, the draft starts in terms of the intrigue and in terms of the speculation with Washington, right? So if you, at this point, you're probably pretty locked in on who you're going to. The only reason you would do this right now is because you're not sure exactly. You're not really trying. Look, you don't have to do anything for anybody's sake. You don't have to run any kind of smoke screen. You don't have to do anything. You're basically in the driver's seat. You have the whole draft, minus probably Caleb Williams, at your disposal. So for me, what this sounds like, and if you kind of like bounce around the league and talk to people, I'm sure that to me, it sounds like there's not consensus. Although for me, this is easy. Like, as soon as Caleb Williams' name get called, Jaden Daniels' name should get called. It almost would be simultaneous. But to me, it sounds like, and from what I hear, maybe it's not that way throughout the entire building. Maybe it's not a situation where he is just head and shoulders above Drake and above JJ and above Michael. And, you know, Bo Nix's name isn't on that list. But it doesn't sound like he is head and shoulders above. Because why else would you do this right now? Look, right now, you're really trying to be efficient with your time right now. You're not trying to sit here and, hey, look, why don't we just bring this guy in? Let's talk to this guy. Hey, you know what? I haven't talked to him. Let's just have a conversation with him, too. That's not the time of year this is. Things are getting tight around organizations right now, if you know what I mean. Okay, people aren't real loose right now. They're kind of, especially when you're talking about picking number two overall,
yeah,
and you're picking a quarterback. This, to me, sounds like we are trying to find out some things and figure out some things, and some things are on the table right now.
I'll tell you the other thing that's interesting. Just compare and contrast number one and number two. Chicago brought in one quarterback. It sent a message to Caleb Williams, you're our guy. Washington, 8 days before the draft begins, brings in a whole group of quarterbacks. So the message to any one of these particular quarterbacks is, you might not be our guy. We're looking at all the guys right now.
That's right. There
are varying, differing messages being delivered to each of the quarterbacks in this particular draft class. The Bears have told Caleb Williams through their actions, You're the quarterback we're picking. You're the only one we've brought in, and that's the only team that Caleb Williams has gone and visited. But the opposite is true of Washington, whole group of guys.
Yeah, I mean, these quarterbacks are very familiar with each other. They've spent a lot of time together in this draft process and even before that in college football. But you got to imagine there's a bit of a, like, looking over, hey, are they talking to you? Have they said this to you? I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. There's so much more coming your way on NFL Live. Buzz around the Vikings trading up for a quarterback is heating up. Is that the right move for a guy like J.J. McCarthy? Adam has the latest on what they're thinking, and Lewis will tell you, whatever signal caller drafted to the Vikings will be in the best rookie situation. Plus, the 49ers were a Mahomes game-winning drive away from winning their sixth Super Bowl in franchise history. See if former 49er Logan Ryan thinks they're poised to take that next step this season. Logan's shaking his head. I had to remind him of that. I'm so sorry. We'll be right back on ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
I'm getting busy in the run game. I'm leading the game with tackles, forced fumble. Oh, man, I'm on a different level.
Out of the gun, over the middle, intercepted. Making the grab, Logan Ryan.
Oh, I'm here.
Man, batted up in the air, intercepted, and returned for a touchdown, Logan Ryan.
We got to win the game.
Okay, now, Logan Ryan, it's so fun to, like, watch you watching yourself. You had a great career with five different teams, saw a whole lot of stellar receivers. So let's go through your top three. We had to limit you to only three, the toughest to cover for you. Start with three.
First, that video gave me chills. I don't know if I put my paperwork in yet. I have to come back.
You want to break some news
we'll
right here?
No. We'll see. I'll stay retired for longer than a week.
You're pretty good at this TV thing, too.
Yeah, so. Top three receivers I faced. Number three, Julian Edelman. People talk about athleticism, size, speed. I don't care. He's a dog. Right? This is my arch nemesis. I played with him, practiced with him every single day, and I had to go against him. He's tough as nails. He makes clutch catches. He's a little squirrely with his routes there, and he's a trash talker. So he's just a guy that had great rapport with Tom Brady. You knew that Brady was his number one guy, and you knew that he was going to know. Look at him beat me right there, made me fall down too. So Jules just has such a good chemistry with Tom, and when you're playing against the Patriots, you got to take away Tom, and you can't take away Tom if you don't take away Edelman.
So how about number two on your list?
Yeah, number two is a guy, DeAndre Hopkins. I matched up with him a lot, predominantly in New England. In every single snap against D-Hop. He has hands. He has toe-tap ability. Bill Belichick said more than anybody else that we are going to take away D-Hop in third down and in the red area. We're going to double this guy, a hard double. We don't care. He gave the ultimate respect to DeAndre Hopkins. He was a guy we game-planned a ton. Had to stay low on him, had to stay inside out, had to compete with him all the way to the ground. So DeAndre Hopkins, I just think there wasn't a receiver that we game planned more for than DeAndre Hopkins. He always brought it playing against us.
Okay, so number one on your list, toughest receivers that you had to cover in your storied career, it's this guy.
Number one guy's got to be Larry Fitzgerald, Hall of Famer. Think about a Cooper Kupp. Think about a Puka Nacua. He's 2 inches taller, he's faster, and he's 20 pounds heavier. He blocks, he runs, he competes on every single route tree, and then he makes these contested catches. Crazy stat. Larry Fitzgerald has more career tackles than he does drops.
No way.
Who does that? So even if you get an interception, he's going to tackle you. So Larry does not drop the ball. He competes in every element. Larry Fitzgerald, you're my number one guy. You know this. I've said this before. Larry Fitz, number one.
All right, I got to tell you something. So we polled your top three guys. We asked them who the toughest corner they ever faced was. They said you, number one, number one on their list. So the feeling is mutual. All right, most recently, you were the good luck charm for the 49ers, the reason they made the Super Bowl run. In all seriousness, the postseason run we saw from the 49ers setting up their Super Bowl matchup with the Chiefs was special. They're going to do it again. They'll have to do it without our guest analyst, although you did say that maybe you're interested in coming back, so we'll see about that. Either way, the 49ers have made significant changes this offseason, especially to their defense. They, of course, fired defensive coordinator Steve Wilks, replaced him with Nick Sorensen, who was their defensive passing game specialist last season. I'm sure you know him well. They signed Leonard Floyd and Yeter Gross-Matos. They also did that to help replace Arik Armstead and Chase Young. They both left in free agency. On offense, all the starters from last year's team slated to return, although lately in the news, wide receiver Brandon Ayuk entering the final year of his contract. We'll try to see exactly what happens there. Adam Schefter joining us as well. But we start with you. Logan, you were there for the Super Bowl run. What do you think of the 49ers going forward, trying to get back there again next season?
The 49ers are going right back to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I mean, they are loaded on offense. They're loaded. They're bringing everyone back on defense. They got everyone, and they got Hufanga coming back. I'm not there because Hufanga's coming back, and Hufanga's a heck of a player, and they have scheme. Shanahan knows exactly what he's doing when he gets there. So I just think that it's a great team to play for, a great roster. Those guys won it. Christian McCaffrey, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner's probably working out twice today. They're so hungry. So I think the 49ers have everything they need to be consistent contenders. I think they're still ahead of the Packers. We understand they're coming. I think they're still ahead of Detroit. I think the NFC runs to the 49ers.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just saw George Kittle at the Masters, and he was saying something similar. But the scary thing about them is now they have an even bigger chip on their shoulder. They tasted that. They want to get back. Adam, I mentioned Brandon Ayuk. What is the latest on him getting a new deal?
Well, there's always the business of football during the offseason, Laura. And Brandon Ayuk would like a new contract. He's headed into the fifth year of his deal. And the 49ers have made it very clear that they want to pay him and they want to get a deal done. And so now the attempts are underway to see if they could work out a deal to keep Ayuk in San Francisco long term. The issue is over the long term how this team handles it, because it's going to be hard to pay Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel and Brock Purdy, the quarterback. Mm-hmm. They've had the advantage and the benefit of having Brock Purdy under a rookie deal on the quarterback contract, which has been a value and has allowed them to pay everybody else. But at some point here, about a year from now, they're going to have to pay Purdy, and there are going to have to be some decisions that are made once that happens.
Adam, look, we know the salary cap's not real. And Jed York, John Lynch, make it happen, right? The 49ers have done a great job of playing their guys. They paid Debo. They paid George. They paid Christian. They paid all their guys. You got to find a way to pay B.A. Brandon, I'm on your team. I think you deserve it. He's that guy on the team that can beat one-on-one cornerback coverage. He's the best route runner on the team. He's the deep threat of the team. I think he's needed.
High praise from somebody who had to go against these guys in practice and certainly saw that from a front row seat. We got more coming your way here on NFL Live, and Logan stays with us. We're going to talk about the Raiders. They had a productive offseason, but is under center still a concern for Vegas? Stay tuned for why Marcus thinks Michael Penix can be an upgrade for the silver and black. NFL Live carries on ESPN after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My name is Wayne. My name is Wayne. My name is The NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN and ABC.
And for those like me who are counting, we're 8 days away from that NFL Draft. Lots of buzz around the Vikings. They hold picks 11 and 23. Adam, what are you hearing about the Vikings' potential plans to draft a quarterback?
They have to come out of this first round with a quarterback. They lost Kirk Cousins to the Atlanta Falcons. They have an extra first-round draft pick courtesy of the trade that they made earlier this offseason with the Houston Texans. They're scheduled to pick number 11 and 23, and many people around the league believe that they'll try to use those two picks, 11 and 23, to come up to get a quarterback that they want. A lot of people believe that they have their eyes set on Drake May, the North Carolina quarterback who the Vikings quarterbacks coach Josh McCown coached in high school. There's also some thought out there that they really like J.J. McCarthy. We'll see what the Vikings do, but they are the team to watch when it comes to moving up for a quarterback.
Yeah, look, this is a real good situation for a young quarterback to step into, whether that be as day one starter or as a guy who can sit behind Sam Darnold and learn. And I'll tell you why. You know what? I had a very smart quarterback coach just tell me recently, you know what makes Kevin O'Connell so good, besides the fact that he has Justin Jefferson and T.J. Hockenson and Jordan Addison, Aaron Jones is a cap casualty, Tyler Chandler brought backing up Aaron Jones. You know what makes him so good, makes this football team so good, is the fact that he provides quarterbacks with answers. And not every coach, quite honestly, can do that. Not every coach can have the quarterback come to the sideline, quarterback tell him what's going on, tell him what's giving him problems, and he comes up with definitive answers to help that guy play better. Kevin does that. And that's what a young quarterback is going to need up here in order to compete in that division overall and in the conference overall. So if I'm a young guy, look, I understand Chicago has done fantastic work. And we all have praised their management team up there as far as the weapons that they brought in and how this offensive line looks going into the season. But Minnesota will take a backseat to nobody. They have everything to offer a young quarterback.
Yeah, it's interesting because if it is Drake May, some have said maybe it would be beneficial for him to wait and sit a year, but that offense uniquely situated maybe for him to play early. Some more draft buzz to nail down here. The Raiders hold the number 13 pick. They got Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell on the roster as quarterbacks. Adam, what are you hearing about the Raiders' interest in drafting a QB?
Well, they continue to be linked to Michael Penix Jr. in round one. We'll see whether or not there's any reality or smoke to that, but that has continued to come up in speculation across the league. And I think the Raiders would like to find a way to add a quarterback somehow, some way. We'll see whether or not that works out. Michael Penix is somebody I think the late Al Davis would have loved. Left-hander, throws a great deep ball. And Michael Penix has really shined during the pre-draft process. I know there's some teams that have some questions, but there also are a lot of teams that don't and believe that he's going to be a first-round draft pick here. We'll see if the Raiders are the team to make that happen.
Shefty, I love that. Listen, I think Michael Penix would be phenomenal for the Raiders and Antonio Pierce. Luke Getsy comes in as the offensive coordinator. But when you think about this team with Devontae Adams and Jacoby Meyer, Michael Mayer, who they drafted out of Notre Dame, you want to be able to push the ball down the field. He has precision route runners as well. And people talked about his accuracy. He played with Rome Odunze and another wide receiver that he was able to feature and feed the ball to. So you don't worry about him spreading it around. He has suddenness in the pocket as well. The unorthodox throwing motion may turn some people off, but more importantly, the injuries. And that is what the front office and the coaching staffs are going to have to reconcile with when making this decision. But I love that they went out and got Gardner Minshew, who we saw be able to go to the playoffs last year, stepping in for Anthony Richardson. And also Michael Penix may be having time to sit. Another thing, he'll be 24 years old. So either you like the maturity or you say we don't want to start out with a guy at this age. I think the Las Vegas Raiders are in a great position at 13 for people to not to put too much pressure on a quarterback sitting right there in that spot. I think Michael Penix Jr. would be a great pickup and addition for them, especially if he can play to the level in which he played at Washington last year.
a reminder that all these teams do their own medical evals too. So whoever drafts him, they're going to know a lot of information about him. And by the way, we all do it, Swag, but you got to do push-ups after that. So we'll check in on those later. He can do them. He's got a six-pack. All right. The Giants sit at number six. Yeah, you are. We've seen Brian Daboll and Joe Shane at quite a few of the top quarterback prospects' pro days. Adam, what are you hearing about the Giants' interest in drafting a quarterback despite the fact that they have Daniel Jones?
Again, I think if the right quarterback is there at number six, and I think that that could be Drake May, then I think the Giants could potentially have some interest. But I also think that they have other needs. Their general manager, Joe Shane, has been very public about the fact that they feel like they have a lot of needs to address. And it's hard to imagine that they would bypass one of the top wide receivers in this draft in favor of a quarterback unless the right guy happened to slide right to them, in which case, when you have Daniel Jones coming off a torn ACL who's had neck issues, then maybe you're going to have to take a look. At least that's what people around the league believe. And I think there's some thought that the Giants will look to get a quarterback in this draft, but it just might not come as early as the sixth overall pick.
Logan, you played with Daniel Jones on the Giants. What do you think the Giants' plan at quarterback should be?
Yeah, look, I agree with Adam here. I do not believe, and WFAN, New Yorkers, if you're listening, do not trade up to number four and get J.J. McCarthy. Don't do it. I just don't think that the fourth best quarterback in this draft, whoever you have as that is, I don't think they're better than what Daniel Jones was coming out of college. It's the same thing. Daniel's tall. Daniel's got an arm. Daniel's athletic. We know that. The problem with Daniel Jones has been his ability to stay healthy. Okay? So if you don't like that, take one of the best pass catchers available, Neighbors out of LSU or Udunze out of Washington, right? Give that future quarterback, when you do get him, a top receiver. They need that. They need holes all over the roster. They need a great receiver. It's a great receiver draft. Get him at six, and then we're going to go pound the quarterback during free agency or the trade market. Do what the Steelers did. Go get Russ and Justin Fields. One of them's not going to be there next year, right? So maybe wait for that if Daniel Jones doesn't come back how you want. But the guys in the locker room, I play with Daniel Jones. We all like Daniel Jones. He's a hard worker. He's first in the building. I get all those things. And he does a good job about it. He's going to recover from this injury. He's going to play his type of ball. We'll see what that is. If you don't like it, attack free agency. Go get a veteran quarterback with better playmakers around him to get better in the next couple years.
Really important perspective from somebody who knows him and has played with him. Still ahead, we got more coming your way on NFL Live. Former Alabama cornerback Terrion Arnold is joining us. You don't want to miss this. Find out what he has to say about what made him into the player and the person he is today. It's a story you don't want to miss and shows you who exactly you may get if you draft this guy. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
During Christmas time last year, I was able to go back and give my high school janitor, Mr. Joe Biggs, my college jersey. Before I left high school, I promised him I was going to give him my jersey.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
If I tell you I'm going to do something for you, I really mean that.
First time in my life, I finally look good.
Yeah. Yes, sir. He always told me, Terrion, you treat me better than I deserve to be treated. But honestly, Mr. Biz, you treat me better than I deserve to be treated. All those life lessons that I learned from working with you during 7 period, I'm glad to be a part of your journey, and I'm glad that you're a part of my journey. And I'm going to get you my jersey to wherever I get called.
Ooh, I have chills. That's really special. We now welcome in Alabama DB and top draft prospect Terrion Arnold. Amazing story there with your high school janitor. What inspired you to do that, Terrion?
He always just talk about wearing my jersey. So when that happened, we were in high school, and I told him, I said, man, you know, when I get to college, I'm going to give you my jersey. And then when I get to the pros, I'm definitely going to give you my jersey. And he used to always say, man, I hear you, man, but you don't have to do something like that for me. And my guidance counselor, Ms. Bayless, who I have a very tight relationship with, she was like, for Christmas, if you come back, you should give Mr. Biggs your jersey. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, I gave it to him. I think he wore it the whole next week. Not even joking.
If you're wondering who Terrion is as a person, that story tells it all. We know Alabama is a pipeline to the NFL. What about playing there, also having the chance to play under Nick Saban, who loves his DBs, has prepared you most for the NFL?
Probably the adversity that we've had to face. Going there under Coach Saban, every game you get every opponent's best. Like, you're used to playing in the lights, used to playing the big games, and when you lose those big games, you see the type of fall that you take. So I would say just even being an 18, 19-year-old kid and being in those situations, it's kind of like, wow, man, like, this is really, like, big time for real. So just playing under him, man, and then the development and always striving to be a perfectionist, because everybody's gunning at your neck. You're going into the games. You always know. If you go crazy against Alabama, man, you set, man. You're going to be on the NFL radar. So for us, just our mindset going in, saying we're going to go out here and execute and not let them have our way. We're going to take over the line of scrimmage. We're going to lock down the defenders. We're not going to allow big plays or explosive plays. That was my mindset going there.
Yeah, every single team, anytime they play Alabama, that was the game circled on their schedule. It's a good point. I do have a special guest here today, Logan Ryan. He's got a little experience playing DB in the NFL. Logan, I'll let you take it away. What do you have for Terrion?
Terrion, what's going on? First, I want to say congratulations. Enjoy this moment of you obviously going to get drafted here pretty soon. A lot of people don't know, but me and you share the same trainer, Yo Murphy, in Tampa, Florida, at House of Athlete. And I spoke to Yo before this, and he told me how you're impressing a lot of guys in the gym. So I want to know, what have you done to make such a great impression on Yo Murphy and all these guys at House of Athlete?
I would say, number one, when I went into the gym, I told Yo off the rip, I'm going to be the greatest prospect you ever coached. Mm-hmm. And I mean that wholeheartedly. And I didn't say it from an athletic standpoint, but just my mindset. When I go in there, I'm trying to make myself better, but it's about making other people better too. So I knew going in, I had very high rank, and I was one of the highest ranked prospects there, but I pride myself on not acting like it. Like, I treat everybody how I would want to be treated myself. And with the guys, I built a lot of relationships with guys from smaller schools, got involved with guys that I never thought I would have relationships with. And we have relationships to this day. And I think that's kind of what impressed Yo, because Yo is a man of very few words. He's about action. And with me, just me being able to show up there, tell him what I'm going to do, and then go out there and execute it, I think he liked that.
Yeah, he definitely does. And I know he mentioned, and you mentioned, your willingness to compete, not be afraid to go in there, you know, say what you're going to do and then go do it. So tell me, if an NFL team drafts you and they say, hey, Terrion, we want you to play the nickel. We want you to play left corner. We want you to play right corner. How do you respond? How do you feel about playing different positions there? Or do you want to stay at one spot?
I would say just go back and look at my film at Alabama as far as me playing special team. Because playing special teams and being a starter at Alabama, any other college, you don't really do stuff like that. But my comparison would be like special teams to life, because I feel like when you play special teams, it shows what type of player you are. Me being a gunner, or me being the hold-up guy on punt return, but also just going and playing a 14, 15-play drive and then getting a stop and not pulling myself out and then competing hard when it comes to that. It's like in life, like, giving back to the homeless or going back to the kids and doing stuff when the cameras aren't on. Nobody really sees that. But if you mess up on special teams, then everybody sees that. Same way with, like, tipping a waiter. If you don't leave a tip and she takes a picture and says, this NFL guy didn't leave a tip, they'll be like, wow, look at him. So that would be my testament to it. I would just say, just look at my tape, man. I'll do it all. I'm an unselfish player, and I'm really there for my teammates.
Yeah, the tape certainly tells that story. Terrion, thanks for joining us here. We'll see you in Detroit. Cannot wait to be there with you on night one of the NFL draft, and appreciate you joining NFL Live.
Thank you guys for having me.
Up next, the Patriots are in prime position to take a quarterback at third overall, but should they trade down to get more assets to fill out the roster? Louis Riddick is back to tell us why he thinks they should use the Mahomes approach. He'll explain. We're glad you're with us today. The UFL season continues. Here's the week four schedule. Saturday, the Showboats squaring off against the Battlehawks at 12:30 Eastern on ABC. And at 7 on Fox, the Defenders take on the Stallions and the Panthers taking on the Brahmas. Sunday on FS1, it's the Renegades and Roughnecks. The ABC game can also be seen on ESPN+. Back here on NFL Live and with our guest analyst today, defensive back Logan Ryan, who played 11 seasons in the NFL. He was drafted by the Patriots in 2013, played there for four seasons. Those Patriots this year have the third overall pick in next week's draft. Adam, what are you hearing about the Pats' plans with that number three overall pick?
Laura, I think they're going to take calls at three, but they'd like to stay there and get their quarterback. There aren't many chances that you get to have a top five, no less a top three pick. New England is positioned to do that right now, and a lot of people talk about the top quarterbacks in this particular draft. New England's right there. Saying that, again, they'll listen to calls, they'll see what the offers are, and they'll make a decision at that point in time whether it's best for them to stay where they are, which is the more likely scenario, or if they get a good enough offer to trade the pick. But they want to come out of this first round with a quarterback, whether they stay there or trade back and maybe try to come back up again as Arizona did last year.
It's fascinating because they certainly need the assets. Logan, you played with new Patriots coach Gerard Mayo. What do you think Gerard needs to do with this pick?
Yeah, Gerard, former teammate of mine, stay your butt there at number three, take a quarterback. We're in the hope selling business. We need time, brother. And drafting a quarterback at three, Drake May, or a guy you might like at three, that's going to get you some time. New England hasn't been in this position since pre-Brady, and I saw that Bledsoe brought some hope to them. Yeah. I think they got to get some hope there. I think they got to get that rookie quarterback in. Listen, you can sit him behind Brissett there, right? Yeah. He doesn't have to play right away. But I do think they need to address this quarterback position for the future because New England fans haven't lost in a long time. They don't want to see that much longer. So I think Gerard's a smart guy. I think he'll stay there at three.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I think it's foolish to think that you can just say, hey, you know what? We'll pass on a quarterback because we don't think that we have the structure to support him in terms of the roster. And we'll just pick one up next year. We'll just do that. We'll get all these other pieces, like assuming you're just going to draft that wide receiver who's perfect, that offensive guard that's perfect, that, you know, defensive pass rush who's going to give you 10-plus sacks. Like, assuming you're going to nail all those picks too, right? So, and then you're just going to plop the quarterback in there. That's not how it works. It very seldom works that way. And look, Logan's right. You don't pass on a guy who you feel can be a decades-plus quarterback. I don't care what your roster looks like. I don't care if you have 52 guys who look like me out there. You put them, you draft the guy, and then you wind up and you work to develop him, especially when you have a quarterback room that honestly is set up pretty good for a young guy. Yeah. Jacoby's the kind of guy you want a young quarterback to be around. Bailey Zappi's that kind of guy you want a young quarterback to be around. And Alex Van Pelt, the new offensive coordinator, is a former quarterback himself. So I think it's a good situation for a young quarterback to have to go into. And whether he plays or not is irrelevant. You have to sell hope. And you have to set yourself up for the future. You have to start at that position.
Okay, so I hate to do this and deviate, but I got to ask Lou a question because I'm supposed to piggyback and give y'all my analysis and thought. But I got to ask Lou this because he's literally been in this position. Lou, what happens if they get the three and they don't feel like the quarterback there is the quarterback of the future? What just hypothetically, If it's Caleb and Jaden go one and two, and they don't feel Drake May, Penix, or Bo Nix is that guy, what do they do, bro?
Yeah, if you don't feel like any one of those guys is worth it there, but you feel like, hey, okay, the draft is a pricing mechanism, right? So if you don't feel like you want to pay that price, but you'd like to take a chance on one of these guys, then you move down. You move down to a spot where you feel as though, hey, look, maybe here I can live with this price and I can pick up some extra picks. Then that's what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thought that I had too, like now that I got Lou to answer that question, the thought that I had was similar to what he said, which is why I asked. I think it's set up for a young quarterback to come in. Yeah. And to Logan's point as well, if you have to sit behind Jacoby Brissett with Gerard Mayo being in this first year, you at least can have calm waters and play pretty good football. Because obviously we know that they have to make other moves to help this roster. But you get Christian Gonzalez back, a young corner that you drafted last year that showed a lot of promise. They are not devoid. My dog, Devon Gauchard, in the middle of this defense. Like, they have some pieces. They have to do a lot of work. But the quarterback situation, obviously, is always going to be polarizing. But I do believe that a young quarterback walks into a really good situation, whether he has to play now or play later.
Yeah, I agree, Swagoo. I think you get that quarterback. You sit him if you have to. You maybe get some playmakers there in the draft. And, you know, New England's always played great defense. It's a defensive team. Gerard Mayo is a great defender. I played when he was a captain. He's a leader. He knows what he's doing. You got some good pieces out there on defense. And you have a defensive team this year. You try to run the ball, help this quarterback, and look for the future with the young.
You know, if you kept talking for 7 more seconds, you were just going to finish off the show, which you could do. Thanks so much, Logan Ryan, joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.
Good stuff, brother.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.